present the News Quiz of the Year, Part 2, with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the conclusion of our roundup of the year's most memorable stories, or least memorable, it depends which team you're on, really. That should give you some sort of clue as to who's sitting on my right. Please welcome Private Eyes Richard Ingrams and Ian Hislop. And on my left, a big hand for Alan Corran and Rory Bremner. After part one, the scores were Private Eye 14 and the Corran Bremner team 18. But now, let's leap into action straight away with a correction from the Independent, read by one of our two guest announcers, Mr. Brian Perkins.
Correction. In last week's articles, we may have given the impression that the Turk's head is a specific single knot, and that the Rosenthal Zeppelin may be found in Clifford Ashley's Book of Knots. We should like to confirm that neither of these is the case. We regret any distress this may have caused. Also, we should like to make it clear that Segelfartige Spoken's Repmator is, of course, the Swedish for Pearly Vakalden Kosimatot, which is Finnish.
Many thanks to Joe Thorogood of Whitstable for sending us that. I'm sure Brian will be getting in touch personally. Well, this round, as you know, we're calling the rounds by different names, but this round is called Nasty Attacks. And your question, Richard, is this. Who bit the hand that feeds it like royalty?
Oh, dear. Nasty attacks. Nasty. Not nasty heart attacks.
No.
No, I hope not.
Nasty attacks by Mossad.
Yes. No. I think it's to do with our beloved Queen Brenda.
Yes.
Who is savaged by her. She doesn't have these pit bull terriers. She has something much worse. This sort of tribe of corgis. And after years of sycophancy, sort of Alistair Burnett-type behaviour towards her, they all started running amok. Plunged their teeth into the royal leg. They weren't put down or anything. They were sort of pardoned. They had a royal pardon.
Yes, you get your points about that. This is how the Queen got bitten on the hand during a nasty bout of mad corgi disease and had to go on light waving duties for a week. In tests, 9 out of 10 corgis said they preferred pedigree ma'am.
We did get the experts in who actually sort of examined this and decided that they were in fact an unpredictable and aggressive breed and had in fact been overbred in this country and should be banned, and the same applied to the corgis.
Ian, where was the term Crown Prince misunderstood? You hear the thwack of a 9-iron in this.
Oh, I know, it's little matey being struck on the head. Botherington Toma.
Oh, absolutely.
Look, I'm not going to accept little matey being struck on the head as an answer in a perfectly
He'll fill in the names. He's very good at this sort of thing. Very quick. Very quick. He knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, Prince Matey was violently struck on the head by Fotherington Matey Minor at the prep school of St. Cakes. And little Prince Hooray Henry, was it the other one?
Or indeed, it was William.
He was taken to Reading, by mistake.
Well, that's British Rail for you.
It's a very tragic story. Until he'd been hit by this chap who mashed his niblocks, poor old Prince William thought that a driver was someone who picked him up from school at half term.
Coming round in hospital, Charles started chatting up about the values of sport to a young chap's development. Wills was heard to say, "Hit me again, I can still hear him." Your question now, Rory, where did a split from split and a succession of secessions lead to war, by jingo?
Yugoslavia.
Right.
This is Yugoslavia, yes. It's terribly sad. It's a very depressing story.
Come on, you could make a few jokes about that, Rory.
Well, nobody paid much attention until Dubrovnik started to get shelled. In fact, I think people in Dubrovnik thought it was just a Club 1830 party going up. They didn't know that anything was wrong until there was a knock at the door and this person standing outside saying, "Hello, I'm Kate Adie, could I have your voice for levels?"
Can you do any
impression of the Yugoslav army.
Can't see me. Kate Adie. Kate Adie.
I think there should be a programme called Challenge Kate Adie.
Well, I don't know. I think the poor girl does unfortunate. She goes to a place and they shell it. There must be a connection. However, I think we got most of the juice out of that one. Anyway. But now, Alan, a musical question. Will you please listen to this?
I don't see her each day. I miss her. Gee, what a thrill. Each time I kiss her. Believe me, I've got a case on Nancy with a laughing face.
Any question which the entire audience knows in advance
yes.
The answer.
I really shouldn't answer this because it is so fraught with impressionism that I can feel the waves coming off Rory.
Anyway, let me ask it. Whose frank revelations upset the First Lady? That's the question. Whose frank revelations upset the First Lady?
Well, this is the bloke in the wig who was inside the wardrobe. His old blue eyes. And no sooner had Reagan's head hit the pillow than he was out. And on the First Lady like a ferret. So we are led to believe by gossip on Kitty Kelly's doorstep. And I think I could now pass this over to Ronald Reagan and Frank Sinatra, well, and possibly even Nancy, who are sitting in front of me. His head even now is inclining towards me in the famous Reagan droop. And of course it was the famous Reagan droop that gave Frank Sinatra... Over to you, Rory.
Well, I know the book contained a number of serious libels. They said Nancy was a lie, for one thing. All that stuff about Frank Sinatra was bad enough, but more, much more than this. He did it my way.
Just been given the scores. Adding last week's scores to this week's scores in a mathematical way. It's fine that Richard, this is my Prince Charles, by the way.
Sounded more
I hope it's
like
organic.
Dr. Snoddy to me.
Well, here we are at Tannock Brae.
Not Dr. Snoddy.
Well. Richard England's and Ian Hislop have a wee 17. But Alan Corran and that there Rory Bremner have a brilliant 23.
Let's go over to Catriona now for a rundown on the RSPCA's new welfare requirements of pigs.
Pigs have good visual abilities and therefore are entitled to enough light to enable them to see properly for a substantial part of each day. They must have access to well-lit areas in which their visual acuity is not significantly impaired by inadequate light levels. This access must be provided for at least 8 hours a day, except when the normal day length is shorter, in which case the duration of day length will be considered sufficient. All pigs must therefore have access to areas well enough lit to allow a newspaper to be read.
Well done. This round is called Welcome Home. And Richard, where did Mickey-taking become a three-day event?
Mickey-taking. Wow. Oh, can this be a reference to?
This is Mickey Gorbachev.
Mickey Gorbachev.
You remember him?
Yes, he was taken ill, wasn't he?
He was.
Is that what it's about?
I think it probably is.
Yes. He was suddenly taken ill, and the Russian television had 4 showings of Swan Lake, I think, in quick succession. And after the 4 showings of Swan Lake, he came back. And old Yeltsin, who'd held the fort, told him, "You're fired." Sorry. There's been a coup. A real one this time. And you're out of a job, mate. So there you have it.
Thank you very much.
I think to paraphrase, Richard, it's the triumph of Matey Yeltsin over the other Matey.
I think you sum him up awfully well. Yes. Rory, it's your turn for some
right,
music. Musical equivalent of Richard Ingram's answers. That was the Portsmouth Symphonia, Knights in White Satin. What else would it be? Your question, Rory, is whose fresh evidence did finally wash with the Court of Appeal?
This is the one about the Irishman who thought he could get a fair trial. This is Birmingham 6, who followed the Guildford 4, is becoming the latest people to be released on appeal after the original evidence was, for confession and stuff, was thoroughly discredited. In fact, the police, I think, at one stage said that the confessions were rather unprofessionally done. But who believes the police these days? I mean. And so they are 6 freed, and they're always at the Tottenham 3 as well. Sort of count them up. Tottenham 3, Guildford 4. It's becoming like, it's like match of the day, isn't it? I mean, Des Lynam at the end of the day saying, just trying to tell you, Birmingham 6, Guildford 4, that's that's a late result, by the way, 15 years late, in fact.
Are we near the mark, then?
Have I got a funny one about death, injustice and incurable disease?
I suffer from all three persons. Not to mention smelly feet held over from the last programme. Well, not a lot seems to have gone right for the boys in blue this year.
We regret that in our announcement of the engagement of Miss Kay Beloy, her fiancé was described as a member of the defective branch of the British police force. This should have read a member of the detective branch of the British police force.
Alan, your question now, who arrive home to face the music to a fanfare of shoehorns, possibly?
Yeah. This must be a shoe question. Oh. I would guess. Is it a Filipino shoe question? You're holding up two thumbs. What do you know about Imelda Marcos that none of us know? Well, this strange fetishist has come back from New York.
Apparently she came back because she came back to claim her shoes, which are being repaired, and
they'll be ready Thursday.
This refers to Imelda Marcos, of course, who returned to the Philippines to face conspiracy and fraud charges. Fearing a traditional work on the First Lady of Crime, arrived at Manila Airport wearing a traditional bulletproof bra, a size 38 special, from the Playtex Cross Your Fingers range. Apart from bursting into song at every opportunity, her return from exile was marked by a rigid tightening of security, with the island's cobblers being placed on 24-hour emergency standby. Let me give you the scores, which have advanced significantly in the case of Richard and Ian. They've reached a magnificent 21, but Alan and Rory are still way in the lead with 27. And now we have a little treat for those of you who admire the dedication of the BBC newsreader. It's over to Kashona now for the start of round 4.
Pornographic magazines were visible in a shop window as Rupert the Bear walked past in the first episode of a new television cartoon series. They went unnoticed not only by Rupert, but also by thousands of viewers and monitors for TVS, which bought the Canadian-made series for £4 million. The magazines, Matrons in Leather, A Guide to... I knew that would happen.
She was up early.
Thank you, thank you.
Same as Rupert, by the
way. Everybody, shh.
I can do this. The magazines, Matrons in Leather, A Guide to Knickers, and Spank... Shut up! If you won't behave, I can't do this. Right, I'll do it once more. It's going to work. The magazines, Matrons in Leather, A Guide to Knickers, and Spanking appeared for only a few moments, but was spotted by a viewer recording Tuesday's episode for his 5-year-old grandson.
Well, there it was. Dedication beyond the call of duty, I call that. And we go on to our next round now, which is called Trial Offers. Richard, what had the Vat Man over the biscuit barrel?
Did you say Batman or Vatman?
Vatman. What had the Vat Man over the biscuit barrel?
Well, I very dimly remember something we had on the quiz about Jaffa cakes. Do you remember that?
It was a question of whether it was a biscuit or a cake.
Yes.
I remember this.
Yes.
Because I can't remember what they decided.
If the jam had been on top of the chocolate with the cake under the chocolate, it would have been a biscuit. Yes. As the chocolate was above the orange stuff, that gunk they squirt in, and above the cake, it constituted a cake sandwich within the meaning of the act. If they'd had the chocolate on the top and then the cake and the jam underneath, it presumably would have been a
Leon
lung or something. Went on forever. I didn't know it was VAT. I thought it was an EC regulation. It was going to be
It says biscuits attract the VAT and cake don't. Cake doesn't, doesn't it? That's right. I mean, of course, because the makers of wagon wheels got round this years ago by passing off their product as a means of transport.
Over to you, Brian.
My husband and I recently toured the United States, staying at several motels. Discount was available to people over 55 if they were members of certain American organizations. When asked if he had any memberships that would qualify us for such a saving, my husband produced his B&Q 10% over 60s card. We were delighted to have this accepted time and time again. Only on one occasion where we asked what B&Q stood for, we answered Bush and Quail.
Alan, who found herself bidding one diamond but no Trump?
Oh, it's that bloke with a boat and a tall building named after him and all that nonsense. It was Donald Trump. Donald who had a lot of money and no, not that bloke with a big building. And no, that was a totally different story. Captain Don Trump is, as they call him over at the Daily Trump. And he had a bit of a thing on the side with another one of those old bangers like Imelda Marcos, and his marriage came apart at the seams, and then his wife had done one of those complicated American deals where they say, if you marry me and I don't like it, I get millions of pounds, and he says yes, and the estate was split up accordingly, and now he's on his beam ends, and he gets an allowance of $500,000 a week.
This refers to Marla Maples, ex-fiancée of ex-billionaire Donald Trump, who opened her morning paper one day to read the announcement of her disengagement in the sits vac section under the heading Wanted Replacement High-Class Bimbo. And this was, at the end, Richard and Ian have advanced. I think they're going backwards, actually. They're now 25, but Alan and Rory are way in the lead still with 31. Talking of sexual politics, here's a cautionary tale for 5-year-olds.
Labour-run Derbyshire Council is laying down new rules to monitor sexual harassment by 5-year-olds. In future, boys may be suspended for playing kiss chase, tugging at girls' pigtails, and leering at girls in the classroom. One outraged parent said, "My sons have a healthy respect for girls and treat them like any boys of their own age." His wife added, "All Joshua knows about sexual harassment is that when they play mummies and daddies, he's always the dog."
Well, anyway, this round, is called Foot-in-Mouth Disease Round. And, Richard, the last piece of music goes to you. The first piece of music we've had in tune, I think, this programme. Who had trouble remembering the happiest days of his life, Richard? This goes back quite a long way. Almost a year, I would
think. John Matey.
Is it?
It is.
Is it about his A-levels? Or his...
It is.
Yes, perhaps he'd been drinking some of this water, the Camelford water, and he couldn't remember anything about how many A-levels he'd got.
That's right.
He said he'd got 6. Or 7, including maths.
That's very funny.
That's a nice change. This refers to John Major, who hit the headlines after forgetting how many O-levels he had acquired in the days before British society became classless, bookless, and teacherless. The ex-chancellor eventually settled for 6 after a seasonal adjustment and a recount on the second ballot. Rory, your question now. Whose excuses for excuses were on the wrong kind of track?
Oh, British Rail. Yeah, all the groaning in the audience. Now, this is British Rail, who's so they're so desperate to avoid having their routes cut and things closed down that they've actually taken to hiding their suburban railway lines in woods and covering them with leaves.
It's pantomime time, sort of Babes in the Wood quality about it.
Oh, no, it isn't.
That's absolutely right. This is British Rail, who surpassed themselves this year with a prize-winning collection of excuses, including cancellations due to the wrong kind of snow on the line. Apparently, they didn't expect cold, wet, white type of snow. And delays because of the wrong kind of leaves on the rails. An easy mistake for British Rail. They only understand the term leaves when it's followed by the words late from the station. Finally, Alan, the last question of the year. Whose gem of speech was full of crap?
I've lost track. Is this the welcome home round or the trial office?
This is the Gerald Ratner round.
I think it's all of them, yes. This is the
last round.
This is the nasty attacks trial offers round. The nasty attack in this case was made by Gerald Ratner on himself. He has subsequently withdrawn it. And his lawyers are occupying the first 3 rows of the audience, I understand, to make sure that I remember this. Gerald Ratner is alleged possibly to have said that some of the extremely fine and genuine jewellery which are sold in his extraordinary shops, and which would knock Donald Trump's eye out for the bargains that they are, one of them was a glass decanter. Apparently it wasn't a diamond ring at all, it was a glass decanter. Wasn't nearly as good as it should have been, didn't meet Gerald Ratner's extremely high standards of giving you really good value for 7 and 3. And as a result of this, a lot of poisonous people refused to go into his shops, and it lost millions and millions and millions of pounds. And we're all desperately sorry, and we hope he had a good Christmas. We'll open not only on Sunday, but Christmas Day and Boxing Day, because the stuff he's selling is really extremely good. And wonderful value, and I would happily have one of his excellent decanters set in my nose, dangling from my cuff. Even as we speak, millions of crackers are being pulled all over the country, and Ratner tiaras are flying out.
Oh, I've got a Ratner decanter in my car.
We have a box of Christmas crackers.
We use the word crap. He compared his goods as being less value than M&S prawn sandwich.
That's right.
If we had a proper royal family with a sense of humour, the Queen would turn up at a Royal Command performance wearing a prawn sandwich.
Well, before reaching the final scores, it's time for the team's cuttings. Richard, have you brought a cutting for us?
Yes. You know, I've always been interested in apologies. This is an unusual one. Appearing in something called Pullman's Weekly News, Honiton, Exmouth, Ottery, Sidmouth. Apology to Mrs. Deborah Wasmouth. We wish to make it clear that our front page article in the edition of the Pullman's Weekly newspaper dated August 29th, reporting the double wedding of Deborah Wasmouth and Jane Bastion, wrongly stated that the elastic of Mrs. Westmouth's underwear gave way during the ceremony. I think it was a pity. I think it was a pity to bring it all up again.
I think she's suffered enough.
I think she
didn't know Ratner made underwear. Ian, have you got a cut of ours?
No.
Good.
This is a recruitment advert that I came across this week for Northwood Preparatory School, Moor Park. And it said they require as soon as possible a lunchtime play supervisor for our 408-year-old boys. Friends of Mr. Ingram's.
Indeed, indeed. Rory, what have you got for us?
There's actually a television cutting. This enters your tragic but true section of the programme. This is actually just shows you how language breaks down moments of great grief and despair. That was the wonderful occasion on, I think it was on News at 10, when the editor of the Daily Mirror is invited onto the programme to ask to be asked whether he thought that Robert Maxwell was the sort of person who would take his own life, and he replied that he wasn't, as last time he'd seen him, he was his usual buoyant self. About which I can only say it's perfectly true.
Alan, what have you brought for us?
Well, I have a snippet from a letter in the Blue Mountain Recorder, New South... which those of us in New South Wales get every month.
It's about the only thing you get every month in New South Wales.
You can get lost.
Big pause, because I read this slowly, because there's not much else to do in the Blue Mountains of New South Wales. While I enjoyed your interesting article about the koala bear in last month's issue, I am astonished that no reference was made to the fact that the koala, contrary to popular belief, can be an unpredictable and savage animal. This summer, while we were picnicking beside our car in Glendale National Park, a koala jumped onto the roof and tore off the radio aerial. With great presence of mind, my mother ran across and hit it with the wine bottle she was holding. Whereupon it turned on her. And she had to hit it again. This time knocking it cold. As my little boy Bruce said at the time, God knows what would have happened to all of us if Granny had been a teetotaler.
Oh, Alan, I award you the ears and the tail for that. And let me give you the final scores at the end of the contest and, sadly, the end of the year. Richard and Ian, quite noble, 29. But Alan and Rory, a brilliant 36. Well, sadly, we've come to the end of the show, but before we leave you, we've just time for one final cutting.
The discovery of a dead night parrot by a roadside has delighted ornithologists. They thought it was extinct.
Watch out for us in the new year. Until then, goodbye.
Taking part in the News Quiz of the Year were Richard Ingrams, Ian Hislop, Rory Bremner and Alan Corran. The chairman was Barry Took and the news read by Katrina Young and me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele, together with the producer, Diane Messias.